Sound of Hockey episode 196. We're calling this one the Ryan Donato episode. Why are we calling it that, John?
Well, it would appear the Ryan Donato era is over in Seattle, as he was not qualified as a restricted free agent and will hit free agency this week. And more than likely, very, very likely, sign with another team. So the first goal scorer in Kraken franchise history is more than likely not going to play for the Kraken next season.
That is right.
I was a little surprised on the surface, but then John talked some sense into me, and now I understand it.
Which we'll do shortly. We'll talk some sense into you as well.
I understand why it happened.
But you guys both told me you loved covering him.
Yeah.
Right? So
super nice guy.
Give me a little context around that.
Just a super nice guy. And to just as Andy just said, but I think what I loved about his story was that he was this guy that had bounced around and like kind of been unwanted, right? And he got to the Kraken, did everything that was ever asked of him, right? Mm-hmm. He played every role, first line, second line, third line, fourth line. I think he did some power play time, some penalty kill. Like, he did everything that was asked of him. He scored 16 goals. To me, it felt like, all right, this is a guy that has finally, after really struggling to find a place in the NHL, he found a spot that's a good fit for him. So I'm sure this was pretty devastating news for him. But
yeah, he loved his life. His teammates liked him. Mm-hmm. So it's hard to see, but you can't keep everybody, and so unfortunately they have to make some tough decisions sometimes. And
that's right. And I'm
sure it was hard for him to walk away from him.
Yeah, and John is, I think, going to kind of talk people off the ledge here on this. Hey, this is Sound of Hockey. I am Darren Brown, at Darren Fun Brown on the Twitter, joined as always by Andy Eide. Hello, Andy.
How's it going? I'm at Andy Eide on the Twitter.
We missed you on the bonus podcast.
Yeah,
I was busy working away.
I know. Not Curtis's voice this time. Yeah. And John Barr. Hello, John.
Hello, everybody. I'm NHL2 Seattle on the Twitter.
And we are coming to you from Seattle, Bar Down Studios specifically. Follow us on Twitter at @sound_hockey. We've been doing a lot of great coverage from there, in my opinion.
Very good.
Yeah, not just to toot your own horn, but give it a listen. We do have a couple of 5-star reviews we want to share with you to start the episode here.
Another couple?
Yep. First one comes from, it says, amazing podcast. The name of the person providing it is Fat Drunk Friend Otaku, O-T-A-K-U.
Taku.
Okay. This is, it's an interesting review. It says, thank you for the amazing work you guys put in. I have 3 questions, if that's okay with you. Question 1. Before the arena was changed to Climate Pledge, I was expecting they would keep the Key Arena name, and I was surprised there was no uproar. Do you guys think they should keep the Key Arena name?
Definitely not.
Right.
A couple things on that. Yeah. Key Arena is the name of Key Bank, mm-hmm. or at least that's where it got its naming. And they had not paid the city of Seattle for the naming rights in something like 10 years when it was finally taken down. And it was funny because it was almost a point of contention with Tim Lewicki, the developer of OVG. He says, I'm taking that down as soon as I can because they haven't paid a dime for it. So anyway, very interesting.
And didn't their original agreement say it would always be Key Arena until somebody else stepped up and paid for it? I think that was why they were still called.
No, I think it was more because it was more expensive to take it down. Didn't have budget to take it down. So,
Question 2, do you know any NHL players who are secretly an otaku? I looked up what the word otaku means because I didn't know this one. It's a Japanese word. It's somebody who's like really like addicted to computers and like other things to stop them from like operating.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know of any, but there's a lot of gamers.
Yes.
In the NHL. And like 4 years ago, there was rumor that there was a prospect who was being his draft status was being lowered or how his scouts looked at him because he was addicted to a video game of some sort. They never identified who that was, but it caused a big uproar about video games.
And I think it was around the Patrick Laine draft era. Not necessarily Patrick Laine, but it was around that because people questioned Laine's playing video games.
He apparently loves
the same time.
Like those games, and he kind of ripped on the Canucks once because I guess they outlawed it on their team flights or something.
He's like, oh, what's wrong with that?
He said he said something like, yeah, that's why they lost.
Yeah. I think Jordan Greenway is a big gamer too. I don't know if that actually fits with the word otaku, but that's the closest thing that we
I don't know about computers, but I know there are a lot of gamers. That's all I know.
Oh, definitely. Question 3, have any of you ever taken a cat out to the beach or on a hike?
No. I never have.
Well, Andy would be the person.
My cat doesn't leave my apartment.
I'm allergic to cats. I don't know. I've explained that to you. Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks for the 5-star review there. That was an interesting one. This one comes from Dear Lemke. It says, listening alone, but married.
Okay.
5 stars. Great podcast. Great Kraken coverage here, people. My wife only likes witch podcast. Cheers from Asheville, North Carolina.
Ooh, yeah. Asheville. Yeah. Isn't that like a big...
Witch place?
Yeah, I thought so.
I don't know. Maybe.
I thought so.
What is it?
Asheville, North Carolina.
I think North Carolina in general has got some...
Andy shrugged. You couldn't hear that on the podcast.
But... I only know Salem as a big witch place.
Which I've been to. Yeah.
I can appreciate somebody being into witch podcasts.
If my voice sounds a little questionable on this one, I'm back from a 36-hour Vegas trip that involved a trip to... it was like one of those clubs with... So the company I work for in my like actual job is we rented out a one of those pool clubs at night. And so I was shouting and obviously didn't drink any alcohol at this thing.
Yeah.
But there were some videos and pictures of me floating in full clothes on a raft in the club pool. So
can confirm.
Yeah. It was a pretty good time. But just as part of that recovery process, you do have to listen to my raspy and sometimes squeaky voice for the next X number of minutes, maybe a little bit longer podcast. We'll see. We have a lot to talk about on this one. So let's get into it right away. First off, we have a lot of Kraken news to discuss. So I think the most, do we want to call it important or maybe biggest? The biggest Kraken news?
Relevant.
Relevant. Since our bonus episode, because I think there was some huge stuff that happened.
Shane Wright, pretty big deal.
Shane Wright was a pretty big deal. Outstanding draft was a big deal. But since then, there's been a lot more news. So first and foremost, the Kraken had to put in their qualifying offers for all of their RFAs or whoever they wanted to keep negotiating rights for. That was due Monday, which is today at 2 p.m. They didn't actually announce who they had qualified until like 6 p.m. So this just came out. This is hot off the presses here very recently. So the players that they did qualify were Morgan Geeky, Cale Fleury, Cole Lind, Alex True, Carson Twerinski. So those players will all be back one way or another. They can only sign with the Kraken. Some of them have arbitration rights. I don't know which ones off the top of my head, but
all of them.
All of them. Yep. Okay. So theoretically, they could go to arbitration, but they're going to get a deal done. They're going to come back. Also, Carson Kuhlman got offered a deal and he signed his. So he's for sure back on a 1-year deal, $825,000. That one will end, it will end in him becoming UFA next year.
And we love Carson Kuhlman.
We love him.
Yeah, this is a pro Carson Kuhlman podcast.
Pro
right?
Kuhlman. Yeah.
Because he's a friend of the pod.
He's a friend of the pod, but also I like his game on the ice. He's a fun player to watch. Yep. He works so hard. Clearly, the coaching staff loves him. I mean, I remember Hackstall calling him a gamer or an everydayer is what he called him. And he was like, and I mean that as the highest compliment because he just shows up and works as hard as he can possibly work. So I love it. I'm happy that they got him back. Here's the players that weren't qualified, and this is what was kind of the big news. So Dennis Chalowski, not super surprising, not huge news. Hayden Fleury, bigger news. Although, I mean, he's a bigger contract, but we kind of saw that one coming because A, they would have had to again offer him a bigger contract, and B, they had healthy scratched him a lot this year, right?
So, like half the season.
Yes. So not super surprising there. Daniel Sprong, also a little surprising only because he has like real NHL skill and he scored some goals down the stretch. He's got a good shot, things like that. But the one that was, I think, kind of shocking to people is Ryan Donato. So, and we mentioned that at the beginning of the show, of course. But, you know, he did well. Like I said earlier, he did everything that there was to do. And this is the business. So he has been not qualified. So all four of those players will be UFAs as of Wednesday of this week.
And most likely, probably not back.
Correct. Yeah. So that's that. Anything else we want to say on that before we kind of move on to some other stuff that's been happening?
Well, this is pretty big news.
World, it feels like it.
This is very big news.
And John, here's where I want you to kind of chime in and tell people, if there are folks out there that are upset about any of these players leaving, which they might be, right? Because, like you said earlier, Donato scored the first goal. Like I said earlier, he had a good season. He did everything that he was expected to do. So talk those folks off the ledge.
Okay, well... Fortunately, this is a business. Like, let's be clear there. And the Kraken were fourth worst team in the league last year.
Yep.
And there's a lot of talk about them being aggressive in free agency. So that's kind of the primer, if you will. The problem here is that those guys were taking roster spots. And things got a little more complicated with Shane Wright. I would love to know exactly how that complicated it. But Shane Wright is, I would say, I think we're about 80% confident he's going to be on the team all next year, right? There's a chance he doesn't, But for the most part, I think they need to create a spot for him, or he's taking a spot. And Donato, Sprong, Kuhlman, Lind, Geeky, those guys are all on kind of the bottom part of the lineup, and you need to upgrade somewhere if you want to be competitive. Now, a case for Geeky, I mean, Geeky's unquestionable. You qualify him, if you ask me. Because
of
he's
the upside.
He's there's a lot of upside. He's one of the youngest on the team, or was. Mm-hmm. And Cole Lind is also another guy with a lot of upside. Now, Cole Lind is probably not a name that people are familiar with, but
he played well at the end of the year.
He had a great year in Charlotte, mm-hmm. For our old favorite AHL team.
We've tossed aside.
Which is interesting because, and also, you know, Andy, you talked to Lind at the beginning of the season, and just because he's had 2 years where he's been either injured or on the taxi squad, so he really didn't get into any games. And his comment to you, and I remember this, is he just wants to play,
yep.
right? So he's basically missed 2 seasons of playing, has a great year in AHL, and he's still only 23. His upside's there, right? But if Seattle is going to be very aggressive in free agency, they need roster spots. And the question is, do you want to upgrade from, you know, Donato, Sprong, and maybe Cole Lind? You need to kind of create some space. And they essentially did. Donato, like you mentioned, they all had arbitration rights, which means that technically the team does not have control of what they pay him, because it could go to arbitration, and all of a sudden, if Donato wants $4 million and the team's only willing to pay $2 million, well,
there's a problem.
Yeah, if arbitration says no, you got to pay him $4 million.
He might have been able to justify a jump.
Yeah,
with the
now,
season he had.
Somebody like Donato, you know, we feel for him. We like him. I like him. And I think Sprong played relatively well, but Sprong, it should be very easy to upgrade at these positions, particularly on the left wing where Donato tended to play in free agency, particularly, and we'll get into that in a bit. But that is pretty significant. Now, on the defensive side, the bottom four, if you will, and that includes Chalowski and Hayden Fleury and Will Borgen and Cale Fleury, that was pretty packed too. Now, if they want to have a spot for, let's say, John Klingberg, who I think we've been talking about for a couple months now, if they want to go after a defenseman like him, this really opens up a spot, because those guys are not they're not waiver exempt, which means if they want to put, you know, Dennis Chalowski or Hayden Fleury into the AHL, into Coachella Valley, they would have to clear waivers and would likely be claimed. There's just a potential to be claimed. Now, the risk is relatively small, because if they claim them, they claim them. It's the same situation they have. But this clearly sends a message that they have one extra spot in defense that they need to fill. And that's either Klingberg or
Riker Evans shows that he can play.
There you go. So when you map it all out, it all makes sense. Now, the Wright situation, I think, is very the Shane Wright situation is very interesting.
Which could be the Wright situation.
That's right. A good problem to have, mm-hmm. but we got to upgrade somewhere, right? And we got to create space for this.
That's right. And, you know, you just had put together a very, very simple, like, all right, here's my kind of NHL-level depth chart. Like, these are the lines that I think are going to be based on the current roster, right? And it clearly, like, they needed to open one spot previously for...
That's right.
Right,
at
to
least,
sign somebody up
least,
front.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? And then you factor Shane Wright in, and I think you said it earlier on the podcast that he's probably going to be here all season. Well, we think he is, right? Yeah. And we were talking about that earlier too, is like, because they have the option after 9 games to send him back to the OHL. Now, if he doesn't perform or show that he can play in the NHL right now, then that's fine. They send him back to the OHL. Yeah. But if he even like sort of looks like he belongs when they start playing, why would they send him back to the, like, I just don't see much
There's
of a
no
benefit
reason.
In that. You know, I've heard people say like, well, then he can be the best player in the league and whatever, and that could help. But he already kind of was that.
Is,
like,
yeah.
I don't, you know.
He had 94 points last year.
Exactly.
I mean, and he had 66 assists or something crazy.
And the knock on him coming into the draft, and the reason he dropped was because he had a slow start. Like, but then he caught fire and was good. Like, I don't know. You know, there's just not much more for him to prove. So to me, it's just, I think all signs point to him sticking with the team.
You know, at the draft, they asked Ron Francis about the World Juniors, and he said he wasn't a fan of him going to the World Juniors,
right?
That is. And he said, we project him to be on the roster. Anybody we project to be on the roster, we don't want to go play in a tournament in August.
So I mean, there you are, right there.
I mean,
so
he pretty much said it.
And I just, John, you pointed out a great, like, just putting that, very basic visual together for
makes a lot of sense.
Dumb brains like Andy and me to to see it and be like, oh, okay, if you now put in Shane Wright into this spot, yeah, there needs to be at least a couple.
Well, see, John took the emotion out of it.
Mm-hmm.
See, yeah. I liked Rendon out. I was like, oh, that sucks. That's surprising. And John showed me that. I'm like, actually, not surprising at all.
Makes perfect sense.
And then, you know, human psychology is that we value things we own and possess more than they're actually worth, mm-hmm. right? And there's, this is a very good indicator, sports teams in general, like yes. we're all guilty of that, right? We all love Hayden Fleury. Hayden Fleury seemed like a great guy, had fun, engaged with the fans. He only played 31 games this year or something like that. So, like,
they never really seemed happy with
the team. Then would you rather have John Klingberg or Hayden Fleury?
I mean, I guess I'd take John Klingberg.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Or, like, would you on rather the forward have a, side.
Up and coming, you know, Riker Evans over Hayden Fleury.
Well, that's taking a little bit more of a, like, a long term view, yeah. right? Like, it's not a decision you necessarily have to make. No. But on the forward side, let's just put three forwards out there, right? That I think I have a decent shot of coming here. It's a proxy. It's not necessarily, I'm not even going to say Gaudreau, right? Mm-hmm. Obviously, Gaudreau trumps everybody. You trade just about anybody except for maybe Matty and Wright for Gaudreau. Now, let's add Ryan Strome.
Okay.
Good player. Andre Palat, good player. Mm-hmm. Scores goals. And let's bring Cale Yarncroc down.
Okay.
Like, those are upgrades.
Burkowski.
Yeah, Burkowski is probably the one I should have mentioned off the start because I think he's
probably a better one.
I think he's a
he's a good target.
He's a likely. I mean, likely as in like more
a likely
than
a, target.
More than 40% chance of coming here.
Okay,
those are upgrades, right? And you still have a decision to make. You might have to. That might mean you have to expose Lynn down to the AHL or somebody else if everyone's healthy to start the season. So it's a very interesting time, but I think that they made some tough decisions that signals they're going to be aggressive, which is what we've heard the whole time. So we should have seen some of this coming. The Donato situation's a little weird because at the same time, he's not a fourth liner. So if you get somebody to upgrade, you don't push him down to the fourth
line. And if he wins his arbitration rights, you don't want to pay that much
to
a fourth liner.
That's right. And he's tougher to trade. Right?
Yeah.
So.
Well, thank you for that, John. Now I do not feel quite as worked up about this news. So hopefully that was helpful to some listeners.
I think
out
you're
there
in the
well.
Minority because based on fan reaction, I'm not too happy. But again, we all value things that we.
But let's also keep in mind that the team was not good last year with those players. So
that's right.
They're not really that essential.
So we don't need to bring back the exact same roster.
I know. That's the funny thing. I'm like, I don't want to lose Donato. I don't want to lose Lind. I don't want to lose Tanev or something like that. I mean, I was subtly worried about Geeky to kind of create space. You got to. So, I mean, there could still be moves, right?
If Wright's going to play center, Geeky may have to move over.
Yeah.
Well, but you don't put Geeky or you don't put Wright fourth line. I mean, maybe you do a little bit, but yeah.
The other sort of big-ish news is that development camp started on Monday, and all three of us were there, John, Andy, and myself. We got to enjoy what was kind of fun to watch, right? Yeah. I mean, it was hockey.
Practice.
It was middle of summer. It was a practice. But it was our first glimpse at guys like Shane Wright, Jagr Furkus, Ty Nelson, many, many prospects that were there for the first time, which was cool to see. You know, high pace. They're all working hard, probably harder than you'd see other players work in this scenario because they're young kids trying to prove themselves. So
trying to get noticed.
That's right.
They're all probably jacked up too. Like,
oh yeah.
Let's go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you know, it was cool. And I just wanted to say, like, my kind of takeaway from it, I was pretty impressed by the various ties, Ty Cartier and Ty Nelson. I thought they both looked really good. For some reason, both of those players stuck out to me. I don't know if there was anything else that kind of jumped out.
I definitely
know
it's Ty Nelson.
Uh-huh.
And not because of his blue hat, which he wasn't wearing.
He wasn't wearing the blue hat, no.
But he looked good. He was very fast.
Yeah. Well, and Cartier, I just, every time, I was like, oh, who's that guy? He's fast. Oh, it's Cartier again. Like,
and what I noticed about Cartier is his shot.
Uh-huh.
He had one of the better shots. Now, he is a little older, but I noticed that right away. He was banging him.
Yeah.
Also, as we may forget, he's an OHL guy. As half the camp seemed to be.
Yeah, that's true. He was signed as a free agent, and it was one of those things that happened kind of at the end of the season, I think, and it just flew under the radar. Like,
training camp last year, yeah.
Riker Evans, I thought, looked very good. Friend of the pod, new friend of the pod. He scored a really nice goal up and over the...
Got a little bit of a ooh
from
the fans.
Got a reaction from the crowd.
Yeah.
Let's see, what else? Any other things that I missed as important takeaways?
Wright and Beniers, both on the ice.
Yeah.
obviously they weren't really playing together because they're both centers, but they did go one-on-one against each other at a drill late. It was pretty fun to watch them race battle for the puck. And Beniers got the puck first, but Wright had him tied up to where he got a really weak shot off. So I kind of called it a draw.
Yeah.
Well, it was just really exciting seeing Shane Wright out there, right? Yeah. He didn't look super flashy, but he looked very sound. And that's really his game, is like he doesn't make mistakes. He's just very sound. And so it was exciting to see him out there. You know, some of the younger guys, or I shouldn't say younger, they're all younger, but, you know, they miss a pass or flop a shot or something like that. But he wasn't making those type of mistakes.
No, he looks strong.
Yeah. He looks like he knows. He looks like he belongs.
Yep.
One player it was fun to see is Ville Otavainen from Finland. Yep. He was drafted fourth round last year by the Kraken, but because of, you know, COVID restrictions and the nature of the draft, it wasn't like they were going to ship everybody over and then a month later have the season start off. So that was the first time we've seen him in person. So, but he's a big boy. He's a really big boy. That was pretty fun to see.
Yeah. And you guys talked to, I had to jump out of the press scrum, but you talked to Jagr Furkus a little bit. Did you?
Yeah, he's a lot of fun. Obviously, big time scorer in the WHL with Moose Jaw, and a fun kid to talk to. You know, he grew up in the same town as Carson Soucy. They know each other. There's only like 500-600 people there in like Irma, Alberta. So they all must play hockey. They all must know each other. The Thunderbirds backup goalie, Scott Ratzlaff, is from there and is best friends with Furkus's younger brother. So they know each other.
Fascinating.
But he's just a really fun kid. A lot of confidence in him. He's not very big. You know, there have been comparisons with Mitch Marner, which he said, I'm not going to be upset about that. People think I play like Mitch Marner.
Yeah.
He had some funny lines. You know, you may have seen the YouTube video of him scoring the lacrosse goal against Saskatoon in last year's WHL playoffs. And something that I always noticed when I saw that, and I saw it long before he was drafted, it was all over the WHL accounts, is when he's skating back to the Moose Jaw bench, he skates by the Saskatoon bench first, and it looked to me like he turned and said something to somebody on the bench. So I asked him. I said, it looks like you said something. Is it something you can share with us? Or maybe it was something you didn't want to really say in public. And he kind of smiled, and he paused, and he said, I definitely said something.
he was, like, giggling, and everybody was laughing about that. Yeah,
he was pretty funny. He had a couple good one-liners, too, about his phone blowing up on draft night, and I forget what else. But he's going to be a fun kid, I think. You know, we'll see how far he gets. Second-round pick, early second round, though. You know, three picks into the second round, so basically a late first-rounder. Yeah. And
on the smaller side right now, right? Yeah.
He's a little small, yeah. But I think there's players his height and size in the NHL. I mean, he'll probably get a little bigger. I mean, he's most likely going back to Moose Jaw. Unfortunately, they don't come to the U.S. division this year, but they do get to Langley if you want to go see him.
Okay.
Which is a pretty easy drive. So.
Well, that's cool. It was fun. And I mean, by the time this comes out, we'll be through day two of that. There's a scrimmage on Wednesday. So if anybody wants to see that, it's open to the public. Everything's open to the public. So, cool to see some hockey here in the middle of July. I'm not mad about it. It was fun.
It was warm out and we were sitting in a cool room. That's what I like.
That's right. Yeah. On the topic of all those draft picks, by the way, the national writers, all the pundits, started doing their kind of grades, their draft recaps. Universally, everybody said the Kraken did great, which I think is, I mean, we mentioned this on the bonus episode the other day, right? Where it was like, I think when you start to see the grades come out, you're going to see positive reviews for what they did, but it's been like glowing reviews.
And it seemed that way, right? Yeah. When we record the bonus, when we're watching, it all seemed really positive and people reacting very positively compared to last year where it wasn't so positive. Now, if you regrade last year, I think they did
looks
better.
Yeah.
But it was really nice to see the national media kind of validate what we were kind of thinking too. I mean, it's tough. Like, what do we know? We don't watch a lot of these guys, particularly after, you know, round one, maybe a little bit into round two, we noticed some guys, but very cool to see. You know, I think everybody kind of was giving grades A or above for Seattle. So
indeed. So good stuff there. We have free agency coming up now in 2 days, as I think we've alluded to a couple of times already. This is going to be, this is a week, man. This is a heck of a week here.
You know, the NHL just says, let's do everything in the same week in July.
I know. It's actually, it's kind of cray cray. But so some of the names out there, we'll do a quick interesting or carry on here. And you guys can tell me if the name is interesting or if I should just carry on. Johnny Gaudreau, is that interesting to you?
A little bit.
Okay. Interesting, obviously.
All right. We don't need to discuss it, even though it's interesting. It's obviously interesting.
If we need to discuss it, then we have to do our job.
Yeah. John Klingberg. John,
a little interesting.
Yeah. I think it's interesting. I also think it's interesting because you called it out like
February.
Yeah, months ago. Like, wow, this could be an interesting fit.
I'm worried it might not happen now. And even if it doesn't happen, I'm not going to be terribly upset. I think.
But it's a name to watch if you're out there. Just
There's not a lot of great upgrades, though, at defense either.
He had something like 50 points last year, too. Yeah.
And I think they need a defenseman like that.
And he would probably quarterback the first power play. Yeah. Not that we want to pencil him in right now, but let's sign him first and then worry about that.
Who's he going to play with? Let's go down.
Yeah, let's break it down. Who's PP2? Okay.
It's probably Vince Dunn.
Yeah, obviously. I was just joking about that. So
Nazem Kadri. Let's not do what you just did.
Okay. Nazem Kadri.
It's interesting from a hockey sense. I don't know that's a fit here. I don't know.
Same.
I mean, he had one super breakout year, and now he's going to cash in.
I like
in.
Him. But let, I like let some him, New yeah. York team sign him. Just, yeah.
Yeah, or Philly.
Evgeny Malkin.
I don't say that doesn't fit here, but it's an interesting. I mean, obviously, he's a Hall of Famer, so it's interesting to see where he ends up.
Andrei Burakovsky.
Interesting
like on him. All. So I like that we've just, this has very naturally and organically shifted into like a unique game, right? Where it's like interesting from a hockey level, yes. Interesting from a Kraken level, yes or no.
Define interesting.
Right. So I think Burakovsky, interesting on both levels. Yeah.
Yes. I think, so the thing about Burakovsky is he's a flipping shooter. Right. Mm-hmm. He can shoot the puck. He can score. The downside is he's probably known better for his offense than his defense. Not that he's a huge liability defense, but you might have to, if you're trying to add 20-30 goal scorer, he's a good candidate in this list. So
that's fine. They got Carson Coleman.
He fits
Coleman
the mold
back,
of so. What Francis says. You know, he said before the before the draft, they're looking for scorers, not only in the draft, but also in free agency. Yeah. And they did that in the draft. Those guys are all offensive players. And even except for the goalie they drafted. He's not very offensive.
Various Strome brothers, Ryan or Dylan?
I personally like Dylan, but I'm biased.
Okay.
I like Ryan, not necessarily any better. I mean,
yeah, I'm not downgrading the other Stromes. I just like Dylan.
I think Dylan's younger.
Yeah.
Okay?
And this is for both an NHL and a Kraken level. You'd be excited about Stromes?
Yes.
Okay.
Andrew Kopp. Nino Niederreiter.
Yes. I think he's a good candidate, too.
And I think there's familiarity there with a certain analytics person in the front office who knows him well.
And was there a GM in place in Carolina when he was traded? Probably
there,
not.
Didn't he do the trade to Francis? Get Niederreiter? Yeah.
Yeah. That's, I guess, my point.
We've got Vince, who was he
traded
for? A
lot of familiarity with him.
Oh, Victor Rask.
Good trade
and
for the...
And now we have come full circle.
Good right trade there. for the Hurricanes.
Yeah. Vincent Trocheck. Interesting on a hockey level. If he landed with the Kraken, I wouldn't be mad about it.
Yeah.
But, okay. Andre Palat.
Like him, but I like the other guys we've talked about more than him.
Okay.
So he's older. He's 31.
Andreas, happy to see you.
Only because you'll say that all the time.
Okay.
Athanasio's a really fast guy.
That he's really fast. That's,
I like fast people.
Okay. Mason Marchment.
Good value.
Okay. Is that interesting?
Yes.
Okay.
He's very interesting, actually.
All right. Sam Steele.
Surprising.
That he's
available. I like him.
Yep.
He's probably not going to
move the needle that much.
I'm surprised how little impact he's had in the NHL.
Yeah, I know. That's why I love the guy, but I'd rather some other team.
He was a monster in junior.
Yeah.
Sonny Milano.
Surprising, again.
Surprising. I think interesting on both levels
I think
there.
If you can't get two of those other guys, then he becomes interesting.
That's one where I'm like, all right, I get that you don't necessarily want him anymore, and he probably was due for a huge raise, but you would think that they could get an asset for him.
Oh, there's a lot of that I've wondered about this offseason.
Yeah, especially on these QOs, right, where I'm like...
Why don't you just try and trade him?
Right.
Even if you got like a fifth rounder.
Yeah, exactly. Like, wouldn't getting a fifth rounder back for Sonny Milano be better than just...
Nothing?
I don't know.
I think so, but I'm not a GM.
Yeah. Ilya Samsonov? Maybe.
What do you think? Yeah.
I mean, maybe. I think there's a need for a goalie here, but can you get him? I think the Kraken will only sign... This is just totally conjecture, but I think the Kraken will only sign a goalie to a one-year deal. Like, a veteran... I guess he's not really a veteran. He's 25, but like a true bona fide NHL goalie, I think they're looking for somebody who can sign a one-year deal.
Yeah, and he'll
I almost wonder, too, if the guy who signs a one-year deal could also be on a two-way deal and be somebody that, if either doesn't work out or gets beat out by Decord, could be sent down.
Well, and if it's two-year...
I don't know who that is.
If it's a two-way deal, one-way deal, like, you just send them down, right? You don't... If they claim them, they
claim
them.
You're not going to pay too much.
But to Andy's point, you're not going to sign a guy for $2 million on a one-year or on a one-way deal and then send him down, right? So, like,
you'd hope that somebody claims him, right? in a way, yeah, in that regard.
Yeah.
But they need goalies in the AHL too. So
correct.
It's either going to be trying to sneak the cord back down, or they find some kind of, I would like a veteran guy as your number one in the AHL in case he's got to come up.
Like an Antoine
Bebo. Or Corey Schneider.
Oh, sure. Corey Schneider, yeah.
But to your point, Darren, I don't think he signs a 1-year deal. Yeah. I think he'll have more options for longer.
Because he's 25.
And I don't think the Kraken necessarily want him for a multi-year because Decord hopefully is...
I don't think it's
available this year. He's around next year.
To me, it's not about Decord, though. It's about you have Driedger next year, who's signed for $3+ million. So,
good point.
Yeah. I mean, and Driedger theoretically will be back at some point this season because he's not supposed to be out all season with his.
They're kind of in a little bit of a weird bind there. It's probably not a massive catastrophe waiting to happen, but it's a little bit of a bind of what they do there.
It is. And I think their options are pretty limited on the goalie market anyway. And I think that. Like, there's a lot of competition, and I think it's going to be hard to find a guy that I'm, you know,
it's
imagining
is
the ideal fit for 1 year.
It'll be fun to watch that in training camp, though, because I still think in a perfect world they would love it if Decor just grabbed the reins. But
yeah, they can't wait that long. They have to sign somebody.
Yeah, how do you find that out? You can't find that out necessarily in training camp.
Kelly Yarncroft.
I think he's very interesting. It'd be interesting. I'd love to see him back here. I think he found a groove here.
I think he liked it here. I think he actually played very well. I wouldn't be surprised at all if they brought him back.
I think he's a...
Or if he wanted to come back, rather.
He's a likely candidate to come back. I mean, it's rare that players...
I was going to say, how often does that happen?
Come back? Yeah. I mean, it happens, right?
Perron's but he wasn't mad like when he was traded, I don't think. I think he was okay with being traded. I think he understood.
He was always... He was realistic about it. I think everybody... With a level head, is probably
so. I think in that situation, they're probably a better chance of coming back than somebody who didn't want to get traded. And
I think, unfortunately, his time in Calgary also kind of hurt his stock.
Which also might make him want to come back because he played better here.
Because he had a weird start, right? And we've talked about this a bunch of times on the podcast.
He was like the best player for a good two months.
Quite a while. He was very good, So, all right, that's our interesting or carry on about the available free agents that are going to be for the picking here in the next couple of days. And that's pretty much all our Kraken news as well. Did I miss anything that you guys wanted to mention here? No?
Schedule?
I guess we could talk about the schedule. I was thinking that would be general NHL news, but we can look at it through a Kraken lens. That's kind of our style.
What about that we finally know that Sam Buchek kid signed?
Oh, that's true. Yep. AHL only Sam Buchek. That was really weird how that played out.
Yeah.
Okay, so the NHL schedule. John, what do we got?
Well,
I mean, from a Kraken lens, what do we got?
They open on the road again, but it's a very short stint down to Southern California, and they are home for the first Saturday of the season, which is... October 15th against the Vegas Golden Knights. They have another New Year's Day game, which is interesting, against the Islanders. Road trip-wise, they actually play a double dip back-to-back in Nashville in March. So I'm kind of circling
that. What's a double dip back-to-back?
Well, two games. So they play a Thursday, and then they play a Saturday against Nashville in
Nashville.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So
that's going back to like the COVID bubble days.
So it's not really a back-to-back because there's a day in between.
Well, it's same town.
Uh-huh. So, that's interesting.
Yeah. Okay. I think there's a couple of them for a couple teams in the schedule.
Man, they are going to go out hard after that first game.
And I actually looked at the travel distance. The travel distance is a lot less, and they're closer to the median than they were last year, where they were like top six last year.
So I saw that graph of yours, and my first thought was, wait, aren't they going to play the same teams they played last year?
Not in the same order.
Shouldn't it be closer?
Not as in the same order.
But it's a distance, though, or just?
It's like running errands in a city, right?
If you're staying in Nashville for 2 days, I guess that cuts a trip
helps.
To Nashville.
Okay. Yeah, that helps.
Makes sense. Or if you're playing back-to-back in Los Angeles and Anaheim for your first two games, right, which is what they're doing.
Pretty common.
I know, but just for example.
Well,
but they also played two games back-to-back in L.A. last year.
That's true.
But they do just – and it also varies. Against the Central, they'll play two games at home against one of the teams and one game on the road.
It does rotate.
So it does change a little bit when you're talking about inside the conference but in the other division.
Yeah.
But
there's three games, right? So.
But it's nice to see that Seattle really doesn't have like that strenuous of a travel
schedule. Still surprising, right? Because Vancouver always gets bad travel, so we just assume that we would too here in Seattle.
Honestly, I think the placement of Seattle creates
definitely.
Because all teams can get knock off two teams here, right?
One of the reasons they were excited about
Vancouver
up in Vancouver.
Can go take a bus or whatever.
They were on board with expansion for many reasons.
And, you know, I got to say, I think it's likely that we're going to do that first road trip to Anaheim and Los Angeles.
Tradition.
It's
long-standing tradition.
Yeah. But I think that's going to be awesome to do, you know, start it off. And that's pretty easy for fans to get there. So if you want to go for the opener, right, that's a doable one.
Bang them out, both
that's
of them.
Right.
Yeah.
You can go see Kevin Fiala.
That's right. New and, Los Angeles King, Kevin Fiala.
And one interesting thing that was also announced last week is Arizona's playing a preseason game in Boise.
Oh, yeah.
And
that's cool.
There's obvious jokes to make there.
Such as? Bigger arena?
Playing a preseason game in a bigger size arena than their home rink. So I'm not going to make that joke, but it's there.
The reason I bring it up is because it's relation to the Kraken. And when the Golden Knights entered the league, mm-hmm. Southern Idaho is actually part of their TV territory.
Hmm.
And parts of Montana as well.
Yep.
So
they went on a tour. They took players on a tour out there.
Yeah, but it's kind of funny that Boise is the Vegas Golden Knights.
What I also enjoyed about that is they put out a tweet, like a big major press conference. It was a big major announcement about hockey in Boise coming.
Uh huh.
You're it's thinking, one game. Man, like
I think that's significant.
Just
for
the
Boise?
Way they did it, though. The way they did it seemed like
I was, don't you know, hate on the. Idaho Steelheads.
I'm gonna hate on them. Yeah. I was wondering if I'm like, well, are they changing affiliates? You know, the Steelheads or no preseason game there.
I think that's pretty big news.
Did you see the tweets? It was like a little bit over the top.
I was fine with it.
All right, yeah. We'll agree to disagree. How's
I was
that?
Disappointed in the actual.
Well,
news.
No, you can decide.
Was over the top? I guess I'm gonna.
I don't know that. I don't know if I agree with Darren as the arbitrator.
Well,
arbiter.
See, I was going to side with you, Andy, but now I'm siding with John.
Thank
so,
you. Finally.
You
I
never never talk shit to your arbitrator. Never talk shit to your arbitrator.
Podcast.
Let that be a lesson to all these RFAs that are heading into
don't talk about our teams.
No, absolutely not. We had to hit the bleep horn a few times there. Okay. Some trades have happened around the NHL as well. None of them have really affected the Kraken necessarily, but directly, it has maybe taken some players off of the market that could have been targets. I don't know. Maybe. Here we go. Matt Murray, a third, a seventh to Toronto for a bag of pucks, a.k.a. our good friend Future Considerations. Ottawa retains 25% of the salary. I guess this is like a... Man, Ottawa just really wanted to get rid of him, huh?
Yeah. They had three goaltenders. They needed to get rid of somebody.
Okay.
And there was a team in Ontario that needed a goalie.
Yeah.
As our resident goalie expert, is that a big upgrade from what Toronto had before?
Well, they had Peter Mrazek. The issue there is that Jack Campbell is probably out. Sounds like they can't
get him back. So an upgrade from nothing.
Yeah. In that sense, they got to sign somebody, though. They're not going to go into the season with Matt Murray as their main goalie, right? Wouldn't you think?
I wouldn't think, but...
Not a team like that. Like, that's not...
We shall see.
We shall see, I guess. Tony D'Angelo to Philadelphia, which the internet reacted to very calmly, for a second, a third, and a fourth. And I guess they also had a seventh thrown in to Philadelphia, right? He did sign a two-year deal right after that for $5 million a year. I don't know.
That's going to be matching him with John Tortorella.
That's right. Should be an interesting match. I will say this. I mean, he's an unpopular figure.
A little bit
off
of a lightning
ice,
rod with the fans.
Certainly. But he was pretty good for Carolina last year. So, like, on the ice, if you're looking at this strictly from an on the ice standpoint, he was
pretty
good.
On the ice, he's always been a really good defenseman.
Yeah.
Well, and he had a quiet off the ice year.
Yes.
So, I think we've talked about it before, so I don't want to really dwell
but
on it.
He's still the first things in Philly were questions about his past. You know,
of course.
And that's always going to be kind of dogging him.
One piece that was interesting here is that Ethan Bear then signed a was offered a QO. How do you say that? Was qualified.
Was qualified.
Qualified. There we go. And so that means that he's effectively probably going to stay in Carolina unless they now trade him. But he was somebody that was allowed to talk to other teams recently, right? So that was kind of interesting.
It was. And I wonder if moving D'Angelo kind of made them maybe rethink – or him rethink, or both, everybody rethink that standstill they were at. Because you move a defenseman out, you're going to need another one to play. And Bear didn't play near the end of the season, but now there's a little bit more room for him.
Vitek Vanacek to the Devils, along with a second rounder. Caps get a second rounder and a third rounder. So that's for Kraken legend Vitek Vanacek, who got traded and then got married the following day. So... That was
congratulations.
Fun fact.
Yeah.
Detroit got the signing rights to Ville Husso for a third rounder. Husso then signed. I thought that was a nice upgrade for Husso. He's signed for 3 years, $4.75 million. I should say an upgrade for Detroit. I don't know if Husso's upgrading his team, but a nice upgrade for Detroit.
So, but...
Yeah, I mean, I like that for
that was
for
a
both
pretty
sides,
significant
though.
Move because he was one of the big, not the best goalie out there in the free agency market, but now he's not available.
Not available. Oilers traded Zach Cassian, your favorite player, John, for a first rounder. I don't quite understand how this one shook out, but basically they swapped first round picks. The Arizona Coyotes ended up with Zach Cassian and I guess a couple extra picks for kind of taking on his salary. The picks involved, or the ultimate choices, ended up being Maverick Lamoureux, famed son of making out parents, and Arizona got Reed Schaefer, the Seattle Thunderbirds, who we don't know anything about making out there. But
I don't know what his parents were up to.
No, but he's local prospect.
Yeah.
Leafs.
He's a local prospect from Edmonton.
That's okay.
Well, and Spruce Grove, which is right there.
Uh-huh. And Edmonton picked him up. So that's
no.
A hashtag one of us scenario.
No. Arizona picked him up.
No.
Reed Schaefer.
Reed Schaefer went to Edmonton.
Yeah. That's what Andy's saying.
Oh.
So
okay.
I was right.
Yeah.
He's from Edmonton.
Leafs traded Peter Mrazek. We just mentioned Peter Mrazek, didn't we? And a first for a second with Chicago, right? So they're effectively there just trying to get Peter Mrazek off of their books, I think. I don't think they liked him very much.
And Chicago's trying to stink.
Correct. So they got Peter Mrazek.
That's on their all their promotional material. Oh, we're trying to stink.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we talked about DeBrincat and Doc getting traded on the last the bonus episode. We don't need to dive too much into that. But then they also didn't QO Dylan Strome and Dominic Kubalik. So, I mean,
those are decent players.
They're definitely trying to stink. That kind of goes back to my previous point of like, you know, why don't you try to get a asset for those guys? I don't know. I think like you could
then
probably,
you might not stink.
But a third rounder for future, like that doesn't do anything for you now, right?
No, that's true.
Like I think somebody would have traded again. I think somebody would have traded for Dylan Strome.
Probably. I think they would have got something. Well, maybe
if
not
the
third,
asking
but
price don't is you think they small shot them? A, yeah, I guess. I think. Yeah, I guess so. I don't know.
I don't. It's a weird situation, right? Though, if you're a team and they're offering them to you, you can look at them and say, "Well, aren't you just going to qualifying offer? I'll just wait."
Yeah, I guess so.
And then I just hold out to give up salary cap.
Now the thing is, they both had arbitration rights, so that comes with baggage when you trade somebody that's got arbitration rights, particularly to a team that needs to add somebody because they're probably closer to the cap.
Okay.
I like Dylan Strome once because he was nice to me, even though he was mad.
Okay.
That's why you're biased towards him over his brother? Well, you don't think his brother is also probably nice then?
Well, he
wasn't
nice to me.
Wait till we interview him
for the
pod.
He wasn't mean to me. I've never talked to his brother.
Alexander Georgiev to the Avs for two third-rounders and a fifth, and then he re-signed for 3 years at $3.4 million.
And that pushed Kemper out.
Right, so Kemper's out there as a free agent. I think this is an upgrade, though. We talked about it recently. Like, I just don't think that Kemper was like, he won the Stanley Cup, but I don't think it was because they had Kemper, you know what I mean? So and
he
now
played well in
because,
the final, but there were some high-scoring games getting there.
Yeah, it's funny because now Kemper is viewed as like one of the top goalie free agents out there, right? Because there's just not many options.
Which is a little surprising, right?
Right.
Yeah.
But it's like, oh, okay.
But we haven't seen Georgiev being the main guy.
That's
ever.
True. So that's very true. That's, that doesn't always work.
Yeah, he's played well in stretches, but we'll see how he does full-time and
mm-hmm. But
I think it's a good trade for
if it does end up being an upgrade, right? Remember what I said? I was like, they might be back. They might do this again. What if they get a better goalie? You know,
talk about a team that was in desperate need for an upgrade somewhere.
Yeah. there also were some important free agents that took themselves off the market going to their old teams. Philip Forsberg, who I was quite sad to see this one happen because he was my number one target. I was really excited about the just even the idea of him signing with the Kraken.
His mustache would be amazing in Seattle.
Oof. And he really like made me truly hooked that he was the player for the Kraken when he scored that goal against the Kraken.
I was just
going
to bring up that goal.
Coast to coast.
Yeah.
Right. And just launched it.
That
from
was an
the
amazing
top of the
goal.
Right circle.
Yeah.
Oh, beautiful goal.
That would be so much fun to see that.
Yes. So anyway, he's off the market. Goes back to Nashville at 8 years, $8.5 million. You know what I was wondering about this one too? And
like I would have been happy with the Kraken giving up $8 million.
Oh yeah. That's exactly what I expected him to get, right? Yeah. So if now you probably would have had to pay him more on the open market because there's competing offers. But I know, did even some at math 9 around million, this.
$9 million at 7 years, he's still making more in Nashville, and Tennessee's a no state income tax.
Yeah. Well, so is Seattle. State. But
no, I know, but you still, he probably made more money getting that extra year.
Uh-huh. So. And by Seattle, I meant Washington.
Yeah. the great Chris, state of Seattle.
Yeah. Oh, I know what I was going to say. So it's interesting to me that players like this that are like primed to be the very top free agents on the market will sign a deal like this a few days before free agency opens. Because why wouldn't you just wait and take the offers? At least see the offers. And then if you still want to go back to your old team.
You can't circle back. Because if Forsberg doesn't sign or says, oh, I want to wait and see, they sign Johnny Gaudreau, all of a sudden,
yeah,
there's
yeah,
no spot right. for Forsberg.
You're right.
And you're stuck probably with a place you don't know or might not be comfortable going. So
yeah. Chris Letang back to the Pittsburgh Penguins. 6 years, $6.1 million. I hate this deal for Pittsburgh. And I know that there are people that were hoping the Kraken would get Letang.
For
I
think Letang we, signing? Yep.
Yep, well, that's right. We had a five-star review indicating that they wanted Letang to signing. Come to Seattle. Well, he did. That's true. He did sign.
I tweeted out, this is a Letang signing with the Pittsburgh tweet.
Wow, that's a very specific reference that I'm sure...
Somebody got it. I got a response from somebody.
But yeah, I hate this deal, honestly. I mean, if I'm the Penguins, he's 35 years old, six more years at $6.1 million. Like, that's a lot of money, right? I know he's still a good player, but...
Will he be in 4 years?
Give him a couple of years. Like, he's going to slow yeah. down. That's just how it is.
That's so. True. Cap comes up in 3 years, though. So it changes as a percentage goes. But okay. I got you.
Well...
I it's not great.
I don't like the deal.
Yeah.
Marc-Andre Fleury, 2 years back to Minnesota, $3.5 million. Apparently, this upset his battery mates or his... co-goaltender. You call it a bat? No, that's in baseball.
It's baseball, but might as well. It's platoon. Right.
His tandem
his
mate.
Platoon mates. Yeah. That's yeah. good. Yeah. Cam Talbot, he went through his agent to Bill Guerin and said he'd, I don't know if he asked for a trade. That wasn't reported, but.
Was there a sword in anybody's back?
Not that I know of, but we know that Marc-Andre Fleury's agent has yes. been known to do weird animations like that. So, but yeah, I mean, whatever. I think if you're, whatever. If I'm Cam Talbot, I'm totally fine splitting, but I get it. People want to be the starter and they want to play. So Valerie Nichushkin is back with the Avalanche. This is a good deal for the Avalanche. I think 8 years, $6.125 million. This is another guy that I think we were kind of hoping would hit the open market.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the better he did in the playoffs, the less likely it seemed.
Yeah.
Right?
So. Yeah. Well, I mean, you win a Stanley Cup, too. It's probably...
He was really, really good.
Yeah, and you're a huge part of it. There's probably a good chance that you're going to want to re-sign in that yeah. place. So, all right, those are our signings, our trades, our non-QO'd players. Lots of stuff happening this week around the league. It's been a busy week already. There's a lot more to come when free agency opens 2 days. So...
It usually goes pretty quick, too, on that Wednesday. Like, as soon as free agency... The horn sounds or some big signings right away.
Yeah, there's no actual years. Horn that I
hear a horn.
Okay. All right, we now move on to our segments. And our first segment is, we don't have many segments today. We have weekly one-timers. Whoopsh. Just a couple segments. Our first weekly one-timer. Whoopsh. Kirill Kaprizov is in a weird situation. He is one of the players in Russia or from Russia that went home to Russia. We know there's some, you know, a major war happening between Russia and Ukraine right now. And the situation is this, and this comes from reporting from Michael Russo of The Athletic, who's a great writer for the Covers of the Wild. Basically, Kaprizov was accused of purchasing a fake military ID to sort of get out of serving his like required military service in Russia. And there's potential that he's not going to be able to leave Russia. Now, there was the other situation with the Flyers goalie prospect, Ivan Fedotov. So he actually was like apprehended and sent to some base. Like he's
Siberia or
yeah,
something.
He's yeah. like fighting. So that's, or he, I guess he'll have to, I don't know. It's a crazy situation, though. Effectively, you know, the reason that he could have potentially been like skirting his service is that pretty standard in Russia. Like, if you're a high-end athlete, they'd kind of let you do that, right? He was playing for CSKA, which is like you're not really in the military, but you sort of are because you're a hockey player playing for CSKA.
It's the old Red Army team.
It pretty much
converted yeah. into a KHL team.
Yeah. So I don't know. It's a weird situation. It sounds like it's gonna be tough for him to get a visa, and you know, it's kind of scary. I mean, from a from a human aspect and from a fan aspect and from a whatever aspect, it's a scary situation.
Yeah, and that's what I said. It's going to be interesting to see how this affects all the other young Russian players,
totally,
either who have already been drafted or already over here.
Now, the older ones, I think, are kind of beyond their military service, so I guess there's less of a concern that some of the older players... So, but I mean, what's also crazy about this is, like, you know that this is coming from the very top, right? Kaprizov, not only was he asked to stay and continue playing for CSKA, he did that, right? He did that. And also he went to the Olympics, won the gold medal for, like, not actually Russia, but Olympic athletes of Russia, whatever they were calling them, right? And that he was like a national hero. I mean, it's crazy that that's kind of what's happening here.
It feels almost like we've gone backwards into, like, you know, whenever it was in the mid-80s when there was... You know, if you saw the Russian Five, like Sergei Fedorov was basically like
cloak and dagger,
and dagger, snuck out of a hotel room into
a car. It makes you wonder if we're gonna have to deal with that kind of stuff. And like, I don't know,
with guys who have already been playing here, maybe.
And he doesn't. I don't think he has a valid work visa either, like in the U.S. And I think you have to work with your home country to be able to get a visa. So. And the reason he doesn't have the visa is because of COVID. There were so many like backups in that processing that there were only, I think, two offices or something along those lines that were able to process work visas during COVID. And so now there's like several players that don't have work visas that are valid. So it's a weird situation here.
I saw Igor Shesterkin said he's staying here in the U.S. He's not going home this summer.
I mean, I think
just
they asked.
Just to avoid.
I know for a fact Bill Guerin asked Kaprizov not to go.
It's a hard ask, though.
Right.
Family's back there. And
so, I don't know. It's a weird situation. Our next weekly one-timer. Whoopsh. Braden Holtby could be retiring. Yes? Sort of? Question Maybe. Mark?
Sounds like it.
Yeah.
I think Elliot Friedman first reported this on 32,000.
Frank Cervelli had it, too.
I think.
I don't know who had it first, but they both.
Elliot did. But, but so... Yeah, that's the rumor. He's set to retire. He did have he ended the season on injured reserve, but sounds like he's done. I don't think there was any like hard and fast that that's going to happen, but he was like kind of our dark horse for potentially signing with the Kraken as that
1 year
that
guy.
Second, I know, third year.
Comically, that was like the guy that I was like, all right. And you know what's really funny? I was writing my weekly one. We're talking about this in weekly one-timers. I was writing my weekly one-timers story, I think, when that news broke, and I literally had written in there, the goalie market is thinning out. Who's left? Is it Braden Holtby or bust for the Kraken?
Yeah.
And then that came out and it was like, oh, all right. Well, let me
it's
just
a bust.
Hit delete there. So those are our weekly one-timers. Whoopsh. We close the show with our tweets of the week. Andy, your tweet of the week.
So I felt bad that I did not have a tweet of the week last time.
Okay.
So I searched high and low, and I found the most mediocre tweet of the week I could possibly find.
Great.
I'm telling you that up front. I chuckled a little bit, but nobody else probably will. So it comes from Pete Blackburn, who we've used for Tweets of the Week, probably a veteran of Tweets of the Week. And we talked about
the Tweet of the Week Hall of Fame, if you will.
Yes, on the Mount Rushmore of Tweets of the Week. We talked about the Matt Murray trade. So Darren Drigger had tweeted out, sounds like Matt Murray to the Leafs is getting close. And Pete Blackburn quote tweeted that and said, problem solved, which I found kind of funny. It's funny to laugh at Toronto.
Okay. It is. That's true. John, your tweet of the week.
So, two-parter.
Uh-huh.
First one is from Frank Cervelli.
Okay.
Says, Joe Sakic let all 32 GMs know he's ready and willing to move Darcy Kemper's rights for a late round pick. Wouldn't be shocked if that materializes given the scarcity on the goaltending market. It's retweeted by Canuck Clay. Says, that's why Joe Sakic was named GM of the year. He even let himself know of Kemper's availability.
All 32. That's good. Although, actually, I think I saw that they promoted him.
Yes.
So
this
he's
was
like
on July 8th.
President of hockey operations now. That's so, right. Yeah.
He's there no longer is, the GM.
That's right. That's
it
right.
Was July. This is July 8th, though. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Okay. My tweet of the week comes from @sound_hockey. It says,
never heard of that account.
Remember when Sounds Carson fake. Kuhlman came on the Sound of Hockey podcast and @DarrenFunBrown thought he was going to get Carson Kuhlman to agree the game is called Duck Duck Grey Duck, but then Carson Kuhlman stuffed Darren in a locker? Good times. So
listeners love that.
They did
that
love
was
that.
So good.
Yeah. So the bit there is that I grew up in Minnesota. As if you've been listening to this podcast for any length of time, you know that. But so too did Carson Kuhlman. So I thought that he would agree with me that the game is called Duck Duck Grey Duck and not Duck Duck Goose. And he was like, No. I lived north of whatever very specific place, and that's the. Obviously, the cutoff for Duck Duck Goose to Duck Duck Grey Duck. So I thought that was pretty funny. Man, great tweet by somebody over at Sound of Hockey, let me tell you. Hey, that is our show. And I guess it wasn't as long as I thought it was going to be. We're kind of in our normal length of time there. So that's good. Thank you again to Fat Drunk Friend Otaku and to Dare Lemke for the great 5-star reviews. Please do leave your 5-star review on Apple Podcasts if you haven't left one already. Oh, and by the way, you can actually rate us on Spotify. You can't leave reviews, but you can rate us on Spotify. So
cool.
5-star ratings there, 5-star reviews on Apple Podcasts. Subscribe on Stitcher, subscribe on Spotify, subscribe on Apple Podcasts. We'll talk to you all next week for episode 197. Cheers.